So the slide that Peter had up there of the three big questions that are supposed to provoke us to what to talk about here, I'm trying to answer the first one of kind of what's going on currently in the management, specifically in the entrepreneurship literature that relates to Austrian economics. And entrepreneurship, I think, is probably the area most congenial to Austrian economics, and it's currently very common to use Austrian economics in entrepreneurship, especially, of course, Kirzner and Hayek. So I'm going to go through that a little bit. I have Waldo or Wally on here, depending where you're from, because the problem with the entrepreneurship literature is an ongoing problem of trying to identify what in the world is the entrepreneur. So trying to find Waldo in the picture, right? That's the analogy here. So what I've done is I did a systematic review, which is basically a real systematic literature review. So go through an entire process and you stipulate everything that you're going to do, all the searches you're going to make, the search keywords that you're going to use, and try and identify what are the key themes and synthesize the literature. So it's kind of what doctors would do looking at the literature before they come up with a new medicine or something like that. Okay, so I'm going to go through some of the main themes. But just so you know, this comes from the entrepreneurship division of the Academy of Management. This is kind of what entrepreneurship should look at. I'm just highlighting the blue here. So you see largely from the lens of Austrian economics, right? Here we have it from the Academy of Management Entrepreneurship Division. We talk about alertness, which is Kirzner's idea, discovery, Hayek, knowledge, or role of information would be Hayek as well. So in trying to give you a current, present perspective of the entrepreneurship literature, hopefully you can see Austrian economics is fairly important. It's more used than any other economic theory in the literature. So part of the problem with economics, this was some research done in 2004, is in leading economics textbooks, the words entrepreneur and entrepreneurship really couldn't be found in the index. Even when they were found in the book, it was like a table or a note, right? A side note on half a page. Baumol, neoclassical, basically says it's a specter which haunts economic models, so it's hard to find who the entrepreneur is. These two authors wrote a couple books, and they've written quite a bit on the entrepreneur, and at the end of the book, they said, despite all their attempts, and they go through a chronology of all the major economists, starting with Cantillon, and they say, despite all of our attempts and whatnot, the entrepreneur remains an elusive figure. Okay, so what I did was tried to go back, as I just did in my presentation earlier, to Cantillon and figure out what happened, right? Why is it so hard to mix, define the entrepreneur in economics and vice versa? So I kind of mapped out the literature, so some of the main themes in entrepreneurship and as well as economics. And originally I had these two as overlapping, right, where in the middle was Cantillon, so that's where it all started and kind of branched out. Of course, neoclassical theories, basically they talk about entrepreneurs being more talented. Okay, of course, entrepreneurs are a homogeneous lump of individuals in these models. They have a measurable degree of risk. Okay, so every entrepreneur is given the same amount of risk in the model, and they're all termed innovators, which probably, again, goes back to Schumpeter. So Kirzner talks about these entrepreneurs being sort of automated maximizers. So they're basically reduced to a mathematical formula. So in the model, if there's a problem with the entrepreneur, it's just a problem with arithmetic, right? So you change a few equations and numbers and whatnot, and you produce a better model of entrepreneurship. Okay, so in my paper, I eventually said that this leads me to conclude that the neoclassical theory of the entrepreneur is essentially entrepreneurless. Okay, so it's basically non-existent. So I want to go through some of these main themes now. And instead of giving you specific ideas, I'm trying to map out the literature so hopefully you can take some ideas from this, ideally. So the first ones were creative destruction and innovation, and I gave this example in the Cantillon talk, so I don't want to go through it again, but for those that weren't there, of course, Cantillon mentions it's a circular flow of economic life, and basically there's three options. Either we're in equilibrium or we're in disequilibrium, right? So that would be the second option. And I guess the third option of two parts would be either we're tending toward equilibrium, meaning the entrepreneur's equilibrating function, versus the entrepreneur that comes in and destroys equilibrium, which is a Schumpeterian entrepreneur, through the creation of new combinations. Okay, the next theme would be uncertainty and risk. Of course, this goes back more explicitly to Frank Knight. Risk is dealing with probabilities. It's more insurable. It's calculable, like rolling the dice, which means it can be minimized. It also means it's not just a theory of profit. It's a theory of profit and loss, which is where the risk comes from. Different from uncertainty. Uncertainty is basically, you know, the future is just not knowable, unknowable. It's because of uncertainty that entrepreneurship exists, where entrepreneurs come in and forecast and use their judgment to identify ideally profitable opportunities. So those that consistently make failures or errors in their judgment of opportunities go out of business. Kirzner says this is different from a systematic search where the entrepreneur is specifically looking. And he uses, and I think this is in Schumpeter's words as well, some sort of boldness or imagination. They have a kind of vision. They see things differently than others do, given the same information. Okay, entrepreneurial opportunities, and this is where I got a lot of this from Jeff, actually, which is really good. Now, Scott Shane, here, this is one of the most quoted articles on entrepreneurship, which was in the Academy of Management. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it was? And he's written a book called The Entrepreneurship Opportunity Nexus. Is that right? Something like that. But
Individual Opportunity Nexus.
That's right. Individual Opportunity Nexus. Anyway, and he comes at it from the more of an economics background. And he seems more susceptible to Austrian economics. You probably know that better than I do. But
susceptible, so like it's like disease.
That's right. He's not immune to it. So in the literature, opportunities can be subjective or objective. They're subjective according to the entrepreneur, but they're objective in the sense that if the entrepreneur makes a profit out of these opportunities, that means it was an actual opportunity that could have been pursued by anyone. Jeff makes the distinction here of whether or not opportunities are generalizable, meaning they can be generalized and others can take advantage of them. Whether they're accurate, meaning making a profit or not, and timeless. Okay, so let me just go through to the next one because I'm running out of time a bit.
And you can come back to the more, you know, during the discussion.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so talking about the origins. So here, this picture, if you can't read it, it's Rudolph's Guided Sleigh Rental, right? So create an entrepreneurial opportunity, a business out of this opportunity. Talking about where do opportunities actually come from? And again, this would get into more an ontological or epistemological perspective or question, which I think is also fundamental, and that's an area for research, I think. Anyway, it's due to information asymmetry. So this is a very big theme of, right, we're all here, we're all participating in the same sort of event, yet we're all interpreting things differently, we have the same information, but even given that, we have information is imperfectly distributed. It's understood in a subjective, imperfect way, maybe. So entrepreneurs are discovering ideas, and they're equilibrating in this way, which is the main theme in the Austrian economics literature. So Kirzner says it's, and Rothbard's is the same thing. We're moving towards the ERE, even though we'll never reach that. So through this discovery, entrepreneurs that make incorrect judgments, meaning they're making a loss, are eventually eliminated, and those that continually make profits are the ones that continue to exist. Thus, errors in the system become fewer and fewer. Of course, the problem with equilibrium models is everything's already given, right? There's no real opportunity. There's no room for arbitrage there. Supply equals demand. Price equals cost. This is Hayek's big thing. And just so you know, I mean, Kirzner and Hayek are some of the most quoted in the entrepreneurship literature. And it's interesting because some of the discussion here has been on problems that other Austrians have with critiquing Kirzner, right? Not problems with critiquing, but problems with Hayek. The Hayekian Kirznerian framework, which I think is one of the reasons that entrepreneurship research uses that more, as it's less, not intimidating, but less, what's the word I'm looking for? They don't have to take on the entire Austrian perspective. They can just use kind of bits and pieces here, and the knowledge problem makes sense. Yep. Alrighty.
You can come back to more points when we get into the discussion.
Yeah, I think that was it anyway.
So, Chris, is your summary view that, as you mentioned, both Hayek and Kirzner are very frequently cited, and in the example of the Academy of Management, the Entrepreneurship Division statement explicitly so, listed as sort of founders, founding fathers, if you like, of the discipline.
Right.
Is it your view that the mainstream entrepreneurship literature has correctly interpreted them and has sort of run with their ideas and applied them in a direction that maybe Hayek and Kirzner did not themselves do, but would fully approve of? Or at the other extreme, is the literature just sort of paying lip service to some sort of obscure, you know, theorists because it gives some credibility somehow to the enterprise, but haven't really grasped the essence of what those writers were all about? Is it more towards the first or the second?
More towards the second. So, and I know you've mentioned this in a talk. I just listened to it again the other day, and how they've been misinterpreted. Kirzner's been misinterpreted and interpreted, and those opportunities now become research for like cognitive type research, right? So, how is it that person A understands an opportunity compared to person B? What is it that makes that person more alert to the opportunity? So. They're citing Kirzner's competition and so what I'm talking about? An entrepreneurship book, right? So I doubt even more that people have actually read the entire book. And usually, you know, just as common in any literature, you're just citing the person that cited someone else ad infinitum.